feeling really mellow again today. It's finally cooled down a little bit. At least that's what it feels like. It's Memorial Day. What is this? May? January, February, March, April? Yeah, May 27th, 2013, here in Fort Collins, Colorado. Went for a walk today earlier. It was pretty warm. Got a little on the hot side there. Came home, hopped in the shower. Now Randy and I are hanging out here, getting ready to record the podcast. First one since, what, the 14th, I think, is when we did the last one, because I've been working my ass off. 10 freaking days of pretty much solid work, which I know a lot of people out there are listening going, 10 days, whoop-de-doo. I know. Some of you do, like, 14-day shifts. Some people do 30-day shifts. I understand. 10 days of working is not that intense for a lot of people out there. For a lazy motherfucker like me, dude, just getting out of bed in the morning. Actually, I love getting out of bed in the morning, as Randy can attest. Not because we sleep together, but simply because she knows me. This morning, I woke up at 4 a.m. It was fantastic. Got up, basically fucked around, let's be honest. Was completely unfucking productive. In fact, I've been unproductive most of the day. Unless, of course, you count listening to Anarchy Gumbo podcast to be productivity, which I do, because I'm way behind on those, and by way behind, I mean I listened to the first episode ever today, so I'm only on the second episode. So I'm way behind on that. So anyhow, yes, I'm... The entire introduction has gone by, and I haven't done any of the normal things I'd be doing for the introduction. So, before Randy has a fit, and... Yeah. As Randy's having a fit over there in the control room, let me go ahead and do the introduction. I am the Great One himself. I am right. I'm always right. I've always been right, and I will always be right. The way I do that is by I simply avoid being wrong. The way I do that is I just don't talk about things I don't fucking know anything about. In the control room on the other side of the glass, where she can be seen but not heard the way women should be, is the lovely and adorable Randy. She is a Republican, but we try not to hold that against her. By we, of course, I mean me and the voices in my head. Schizophrenia sitting in. I got a friend request from somebody on Facebook a couple of days ago, and I'm like, wait, aren't I friends with this person already? So I friend them, and I'm looking, and she has two Facebook accounts. I'm like, okay, are you schizophrenic? I mean, what's going on here? I don't know. Anyhow, this is Stating the Obvious, brought to you by Cynical Libertarian Society, on the internet at cynlibsoc.com. And I already said this is May the 27th, Memorial Day 2013. What else do I need? Oh, yes, thank you. And, of course, the email address, if you want to contact us, is God, that's G-O-D, dog spelled backwards, God, at cynlibsoc.com. If you want to send Randy an email directly, if you want to be like a online stalker or anything like that, it's Randy at cynlibsoc.com. That's Randy, R-A-N-D-I, with an I, not a Y. So, yeah, I'm feeling mellow. Working on some mic technique, trying not to overload the mic, trying not to clip the sound wave is the more correct terminology. You got to work on a little mic technique. Sorry. Anyway, I'm just. It's so nice in here today, isn't it? I got the window to the outside open. It's all cool air coming in. It's quiet. The college kids are gone. Thank God. Oh, Jesus fucking H. Christ. Oh, the little parasites are out of town for the summer. It's back to when Fort Collins is a really nice place to be. Okay. Let me see if I can start getting to the point. Oh, so let's... How long... Right, exactly. So this is where we play the game of how long can I avoid getting around to the topic that I'm supposed to be talking about in this episode is stating the obvious. Randy loves it when we do this. She tries to keep me focused and on the path, and it doesn't work out. I just watched Batman and Robin. Yeah, I know, the movie came out years ago. The one George Clooney playing Batman. I don't know if George Clooney played, if I can learn how to talk. I don't know if George Clooney played Batman in multiple movies or not, because there's a lot of Batman movies I haven't seen, because they're kind of lame. But, yeah, I heard really bad things about this movie, and I finally just wanted to break down and watch it in order to see how bad it was. And I gotta say, you know, and everybody's ripping on Schwarzenegger, of course, because everybody rips on Schwarzenegger. And the biggest thing I remember is that at the time that it came out, Alicia, however you're pronouncing it, however she pronounces it, Silverstone, yeah. She got ripped on for being really shitty in the movie and being kind of fat. And that was the biggest thing I remember about the movie at the time, because I was all in love with Alicia Silverstone when I was younger. And in fact, speaking of Alicia, I mean right there on the wall here in the Palatial Studios of the Cynical Libertarian Society is a poster of Alicia Silverstone from Clueless, which I haven't seen that movie in a long time. I should watch that again to see if it's anywhere near as good as I thought it was. Put that on the list. I like watching old movies that I remember as being good and then watching them and going, wow, that was really disappointing. Although sometimes not so much. Speaking of old movies, I'm also still reading the book Digital Vertigo. I talked about that in the previous podcast. You know, it's okay. I mean, he makes a lot of good points. He makes some points I agree with and stuff, but I don't know, it's not a book that I'm really getting passionate about in the presentation and the depth and really going, oh yeah, that's really interesting. You know, like I did with The Shallows by Nicholas Carr, which I still think is one of the best books I've read so far about how the internet culture fucks up people's brains. So, Digital Vertigo, I mean, it's okay. If you want to read something on this, you should start with The Shallows. But Digital Vertigo has some slow parts, and it's a lot of places it's really very intellectualized, and he's trying to draw these really deep parallels to Alfred Hitchcock's movie Vertigo. And you know, I get what you're trying to do. I get what he's trying to do. You know, I get it. It's just that, for me anyway, it's not that captivating, and the ties are a little tenuous. But anyhow, so that brought me to thinking about Vertigo, which I just put that on my hold list from the library, because I want to watch that movie again, because I haven't seen it in a while, which relates to me talking about watching movies I had seen in the past and want to watch again, which relates to now we can get back to Batman and Robin. That was the long fucking way to get there from here. Back to Batman and Robin. Watch the movie. You know, it was not as bad as I thought it was going to be. When it first started, it first cranked up, and I thought, oh my god, this is a piece of shit. And then, like, I mean, literally, truly, the opening sequence was just stunningly pathetic. And so, I'm like 25 seconds into the movie when I realized, okay, wait a minute. It's supposed to be campy. It wasn't campy because it was bad. It's supposed to be campy. As soon as I accepted that it was a campy movie, it immediately got better. It really did. And the whole build-up and Poison Ivy and the neon... And I mean, it was just like the Batman TV series with Adam West, almost, is what it reminded me of. I have to say, the one thing that would have made the movie better would have been the complete elimination of Alicia Silverstone's character. And yeah, her acting was not very impressive. But then again, for as campy as this movie was, well, actually, I mean, the rest of the actors were actually pretty good. Alicia wasn't up to the standards of the other people who were deliberately being campy. I think she was just being bad because she was. And yeah, she was a little chubby-ish, but I mean, my God, people, give the girl a break. But, and this is not a reflection on her. I mean, that's what I have to say about her, is her acting was by far the worst in the movie. And yeah, she is a little bit chubby. And yeah, so that's that. But as far as the writing of the movie goes, the thing was slightly over 2 hours long. And I was like, oh my God, that's a little too much. Yeah, that's what she said. And, oh, that reminds me of a story I need to tell. Okay. Wait, no, I'm going to wrap this one up before I go to the next one, I promise. What was I talking about? Oh, yes, Batman and Robin. So, what would have made the movie better from the plot, from the writing perspective, was the elimination of her character just completely. Because the Alicia Silverstone / Batgirl / Alfred's niece, oh my God, spoiler alert. That whole arc just really didn't bring anything to the story that I felt it needed. And if anything, it just sort of distracted. And, I mean, it was just unnecessary. I guess it wasn't a bad aspect. It was just really unnecessary. And added, just, it didn't add anything. So anyhow, here's the point. 20 years from now, when somebody remakes Batman and Robin, because, nobody can make a fucking original movie anymore, because nobody has any kind of fucking original ideas, which is interesting, because if I ever get around to it, I'm going to be talking about so-called copyright infringement and stealing intellectual property, and I'm going to be talking about how somebody who is a pseudo-member of the medicated generation and who uses the word fuck almost as much as I do, because nobody uses the word fuck as much as I do. Oh, okay. That's what I get for having the computer up. I saw an email rolling in that looked semi-important. Lost train of thought, gone again. There it is. That is the fucking short attention span internet shit that is happening to my brain. That, and I'm really mellow. Okay, so anyhow, this individual, who I'm going to be talking about later, if I ever fucking get around to it, is whining about copyright infringement. And it, as I look around society today, where nobody has a fucking original idea. I mean, every movie that comes out is, I mean, what's one of them? I don't keep up with big movies and pop culture and shit, so, and I'm totally fucking just throwing my darts into the wind here, but I saw that just recently the new Star Trek movie came out, and it's probably making a lot of money. Alright, so I'm going to say that right now it's probably a big box office pull. I don't know this for a fact, and I don't give a fuck enough to get on Google and try to confirm it, and we're going to talk about the inability to confirm things that you say. And this is sort of why I don't spend a lot of time talking about shit other people are talking about, because to talk about shit other people are talking about, you have to confirm that it's true, okay? So everything I'm saying here is big theory. But Star Trek, we know the previous Star Trek movie, for a fact, made a lot of money. I mean, giant fucking copyright infringement. I mean, yeah, sure, the J.J. Abrams and all these people had permission from the copyright owners to remake Star Trek. So in a sort of legal, not in a sort of, in a legal sense, this was not copyright infringement. But in a practical sense, this was complete theft of intellectual property, in the sense that J.J. Abrams and everybody else involved in remaking the Star Trek, remaking the original Star Trek, pretty much contributed no fucking original ideas of their own. They took something that was created by Gene Roddenberry in the 1960s and fucking put a new coat of paint on it. Okay? So, if eventually I ever get to talking about this actual example of somebody whining about somebody else taking the words she wrote on her website and writing something similar on their website, I mean, this is in the context of a culture. I mean, a culture, first of all, where there's just the outrage that's generated about this. You know, there's no outrage about his Lord and Savior, Hussein Obama, the Messiah, murdering people in foreign countries with flying robots. No, no, no. You know, there's no outrage about the war on terror. There's no outrage about the fact that Guantanamo is still there, even though the Messiah said he's going to close it. There's no outrage about indefinite detention. There's no outrage about the continuing war in Afghanistan. There's no outrage about any of this stuff. But for this fucking stupid cunt, somebody writes some shit on their website that's kind of sort of similar to the shit on her website. And this is like this moral fucking outrage just explodes from all these goddamn losers that don't have any friends and don't have any hobbies and don't have a fucking social life. It never ceases to amaze me how people are perfectly willing to accept. Oh, and I forgot to mention the war on drugs. You know, there's no outrage over the war on drugs. It just amazes me how people will put aside their moral outrage when the government murders and imprisons. And yet, for something like somebody writing some words on their website that are similar. Not there. There's no, and she did this side-by-side comparison. We're going to go through it. There are no word. There's no paragraphs directly lifted. There's some shit that's similar, and I'm going to grant you it is. Looking at the chick who supposedly stole from the other chick, okay, I can look at this and say, yeah, she I can't remember the name. I call her Karen for, no, I'm going to call her Alice because I don't remember her name. The chick who's alleging the theft is named Erica. And you look at Alice's stuff, and yes, I can see that there's some similarity to what Erica wrote. Okay? All right. I hate to break this to you, but there's only about 17 or 18 fucking ideas in the entire world, and there's always going to be some goddamn similarity. Okay, if similarity is copyright infringement, I mean, have you by chance seen more than 5 movies in your life? There, how many different movies are there, Randy? There's the love story, there's the horror movie, there's basically Star Trek. I mean, there's only so many fucking ideas out there. Romance novels. There's only one fucking plot for every goddamn romance novel out there. Now, of course, here people are going to say, well, you're talking about concepts. We're talking about words. Well, when we get to the example, you'll see, yeah, not so much. What else was I going to ramble about before I actually got to what I'm supposed to be fucking talking about? Oh, yeah. Right. Those of you who have listened to this podcast in the past, and for those of you, excuse me, for those of you who are virgins and lucky enough for this to be your first experience, just want you to know I'm not always this mellow, so if you listen to this and go, wow, this guy's an asshole, but not that much of an asshole. No, no, no. Normally, because I'm on here screaming about, you know, fuck statist, and they should all be taken out and shot, and I fucking hate everybody, and I want to nuke the world, and all this other shit. But today, I'm really fucking mellow, so I'm not doing any of that. But it could happen. It could happen. No guarantees, but it could happen. For those of you new to the podcast, I work in theater, among other things. Recently finished doing a load-in for a musical, and at this theater there are pardon me again, oh, hold it, voice going out. Okay. Okay, not okay. All right, better. Whew. A real podcaster would edit all of that out. However, I don't have time for fucking editing shit because I have other things to do. All right, now, let me get back to telling my story, which is delaying what I'm supposed to be talking about. working at this theater, and one of the employees there, he is currently in a halfway house. He has some kind of past criminal record. I don't know exactly what he did, but it's important to sort of establish this guy's character. He's kind of young. He's what some people would call young, dumb, and full of cum. Not to say that he's really dumb. I'm just saying that's an expression. I mean, he's a cool guy. He's good to work with. He's smart. But so he's like this really young, boisterous guy, you know, walking around talking stuff about, yeah, I'd like to fuck her, you know, and oh man, when I was on drugs, I was doing all this stuff, and man, I was crazy, and you know, talking about, yeah, my first baby's mama, you know, just you know, kind of the whole attitude, kind of badass. That's why I say, you know, young, dumb, full of cum. I mean, that kind of just badass attitude, like try anything, do anything. Not in a hostile way, you know, he was not like getting in people's face and talking shit, but just very, very confident and cocky, you know, and worldly, having, you know, I've been in the world of drug dealers, I've been in the world of theft, you know, he's talking about how he used to steal stuff to support his drug habit and everything. So, you know, not a naive individual is what I should say, you know, a man who is experienced in life and experienced in underworld activities and stuff like this. So not, you know, somebody who has never gone outside and never seen crime before and never had sex and been sheltered. So that's the attitude of this guy. That's the approach that he brings. That's the personality that he is. And loud and boisterous and fun and cracking jokes all the time. And just, you know, a cool guy to be spending a day working with. And so we're sitting there at one point, and we're talking about something. I don't even remember how he got there. But then all of a sudden, his whole demeanor just changed. And I'm going to pull my acting skills from deep within me, because I haven't done any acting in a while. And I'm going to attempt to impersonate the tonality and everything that he utilized. We're sitting there, we're talking, we're goofing around, and suddenly his whole body language, everything changes. And he kind of looks around him. And he says, man, you know, I went out the other night with some of the actresses, and they're a bunch of whores. And I literally almost fell over. I mean, just the way he said it. They're a bunch of whores. I'm like, dude, welcome to theater. Yes, they are whores. Like, I've been doing theater for 9 fucking years. Like, 85% of the actors I know are fucking whores. Okay? This is why I have a policy that forbids me from having sex with actors. And by the way, for those of you who don't know this, I've said this before, actor is a gender-neutral term. There's no such thing as an actress. The word actress was invented so the Academy Awards could give an award to the best actor and an award to the best actress, okay? Actor is gender-neutral. We don't have lawyers and lawyeresses. You know, we don't have doctors and doctorettes. Doctor, lawyer, nurse, teacher, they're all gender neutral. Actor is a gender neutral word. I don't fuck actors. This is a policy I have after 9 years in theater. This is one of the few, I don't know if I'd call it a principle, it's certainly not a moral, but this is one of the few policies that I have stuck to, is do not, under any circumstances, stick your dick inside an actor, because you will very likely come away with some kind of fucking disease. Possibly one that's never actually been seen by modern medicine before. Because yes, they are whores, and musical theater attracts whores like you would not believe. So that's my theater story. My other theater story is that doing a dance performance, one dancer was going on stage, the other dancer was going off stage. They impacted into each other, and somehow or another, one of them managed to bust her forehead open, and we had blood everywhere, and I think, because we, this was actually during the show, I had stuff, I was doing stuff, so I can't keep up with everything. I think she ended up going to the hospital to get stitches. So when anybody tells you that, you know, theater is not a dangerous place to be, oh, it is, it is, it is, especially for dancers. And that's not a dancer joke. Dancers can get fucking injured, because Randy was looking at me like, was that supposed to be a joke? No, that wasn't a joke. I mean, I'm not making fun of the girls for colliding. It's fucking dangerous. It can be dangerous. My God, we have to have a law against dancing now, because people might get killed. All right. Hey, Randy, what do you say I get around to talking about the actual topic of this podcast for, what, 25 minutes in? Awesome. Book that I just finished reading. Trust Me, I'm Lying, Confessions of a Media Manipulator by Ryan Holiday. Now, this book was really good. I plowed through this thing in like 3 days. I couldn't put it down. It was a page-turner. It was a thriller. It's a damn good read, and I highly recommend it for anybody who, if you're a website person, if you're a blogger person, or if you're the kind of person who needs to get information out into the world, if you need publicity, if you want to get your lies out there, if you want to get your propaganda out there, even if you want to get the truth out there. Because what it's basically about is, how do you manipulate the media? I would say a little more specifically, it's about how do you manipulate bloggers, in order to get your information out into the world. And he puts a lot of emphasis on the fact that your information doesn't have to be accurate, it doesn't have to be true, which is the whole point. He's one of these guys, you've heard of the computer hackers who started off as, you know, quote-unquote evil hackers, as black hat computer hackers, and then later on turned over a new leaf and went to work for the quote-unquote good guys. That's sort of his shtick. His shtick is saying, look, you know, in the past, I've used these techniques to do all sorts of mean and nasty things and to get actual, outright, legitimate lies into the mainstream media. You know, to get actual untrue things reported by ABC and CBS and MSNBC and CNN and Fox and all this other stuff. And now he's sort of, oh, I'm turning over the new leaf, and, you know, I'm showing you how this is done, and what you do with the information is up to you, blah, blah, blah. So it's a good book. Very, very interesting if you're into this stuff. And, of course, talking about the internet and how it affects things is something that I've been big on lately. And he makes a point in here, which I'm going to paraphrase. Oh my God, it's copyright infringement. I'm going to use some of the same words he used. I wonder if he's going to sue me. Sorry, that was a hit on Erica and her copyright infringement shit. All right, let me try to focus here. Let me focus. Deep breath, focus. Part of his point, and part of why I also think this is important, because I agree with this, is that false information, if you get false information and you use that false information to shape your view of reality, you're going to have a false view of reality. If you have a false view of reality, it's not going to work very well, right? If I have a false view of reality that says Hussein Obama is the Messiah and that he's going to put gas in my car and pay my mortgage for me, well, when the mortgage payment comes due and Obama doesn't pay the mortgage for me, I'm going to be in a world of hurt because I have a false understanding of reality. And so it's important to understand how the internet, how the blogs, how everything that drives this can affect our sense of reality, our perception of reality, and basically cause people to have an incorrect view of reality. All right, so let me get into this. and talk about it a little more. Here is his sequence for how you get information into the mainstream media. First of all, you give the information to low-level bloggers who are trying to build an audience, bloggers who are trying to make a name for themselves, bloggers who are trying to be all up and coming. Now, the reason he uses these people is because these people don't have time or resources to verify and fact check stuff, which is really convenient if the things you're leaking are untrue. And he gives a lot of examples about how he would create false documents or how he would create false screenshots and send this stuff to people, and how while people would send him an email and just say, you know, are you for real or whatever, blah blah blah, he's talked about how so very few bloggers made any attempt beyond an email to verify who he was and to verify the truthfulness of the information he's putting out. So you take your bullshit, like let's say for example, I got to come up with something. I want to put out that I am going to hack into the White House website. Okay, so there we go. The Great One himself is going to hack the website of the White House. So I contact some low-level political blogger, and in this case, I would target some right-wing blogger, and I would say, hey, you know, I would send this email from this anonymous email address, and I would say, hey, man, I just heard that the Great One himself over at Cynical Libertarian Society, he's been studying computer hacking, and he's going to hack into the White House website. And it's going to happen, man, because I know, because I got this screenshot of him hacking in. And I make this fake screenshot, you know, and change a couple of things so it looks like it's the White House website, and I send it over. The guy bites it. The guy publishes it. Why? Well, because on the internet, accuracy doesn't matter. We'll talk about this some more. Accuracy doesn't matter. Getting stuff out there early is what matters, because everybody thinks that being the first to go to press, so to speak, is what's important. And you'll see this in websites all the time with exclusive. And keep in mind here, when I'm in the context of this episode, when I'm saying websites, I should more accurately be saying blogs. And perhaps even more accurately, I should be saying blogs which are pretending to, or actually are, putting out news, current events, or gossip, you know, things like that. So we're not talking so much about corporate websites and stuff like that. I'm going to be using the term website very loosely. So I want to specify that now. I'm talking about blogs that put out information of the type that is quote-unquote called news. All right, so through my anonymous email, or through my fake email, pretending to be somebody I'm not, by whatever means, I sell some blogger on the idea that the Great One himself is going to hack into the White House website. Well, now, the blogger, because he sees a potential exclusive, and he sees the opportunity to get lots of page hits, because, of course, on the internet, again, it's what matters isn't, is your information accurate? What matters is, do you get your information up first, and does your information get the most page hits? Ryan talks about this a lot in the book also, you know, about how bloggers do whatever the fuck it takes to get the most page hits. It doesn't matter if people are reading it. It doesn't matter if the information is accurate. What matters is, when you pull up your Google stats, how many times has your website been visited? Because that is what you sell to the advertisers. When you go to that's what matters to advertisers. And so he talks about how generating more hits on a page leads to more advertising revenue. Okay, but I digress. So let's get back. I've sold this idea that I'm going to hack into the White House website to this low-level blogger who makes no attempt to confirm that this is true, or that, you know, the person who's leaking this information is a real person, or to confirm who I am, or to confirm whether or not I have any computer hacking skills, which I sure as fucking don't, using the example. And here's a good example. I mean, I'm just making up this example. I'm hacking into the website. This is another thing he talks about in the book, is how things are taken out of context. You know, like, for example, we see... I know, I'm all over the place today. And here's a legit thing about this. A legit example. We see all the time, like on YouTube, how video clips are taken out of context. I remember one, and I didn't comment on this. There's some college professor, and there was all this outrage on some blogs, and I saw the outrage on the blogs, and I thought, wow, here's a classic example of what Ryan's talking about in this book. There's this clip of the college professor, and he says something to the effect of, if women want to be taken seriously, they need to start killing more men. So if I come to you and I say, if women want to be taken seriously, they need to start killing more men. Okay, that carries with it some connotations, that there's some stuff there. You can hear that quote and you can draw conclusions from that. The thing is, it's not in the context. When this professor said that statement, it was in the context of something like a 50-minute speech. Now, Ryan's point is that what people in the blogosphere will do is they take things just like that. They take that soundbite. They take literally, you know, 8-second quotes. They take literally, you know, 20-second clips out of one-hour speeches. And they put those out and they say, look, this person wants to kill women, or this person wants women to kill men, or this person is a racist, or this person, you know, is going to hack into the White House website because somebody could take a clip from this podcast. Look, the great one himself over at Cynical Libertarian Society, he's going to hack into the White House website. God, I can't fucking talk today. Right? And you can take that little clip, because I said that. I did say that in this podcast. It's right there. It's my voice. You could take that clip, and you could isolate that clip and send it to the Secret Service, and the Secret Service will come and fucking shoot me. Because I just said I'm going to hack the White House website. But when you listen to the entire thing in context, you'll realize that I am not making a threat or even a promise to hack into the website, to the White House website. Why did I choose an example, White House website? It's a tongue twister. She sells seashells by the seashore. And so same thing with this clip about the professor saying, if women want to be taken seriously, they need to kill more men. I didn't watch the entire 50-minute, 1-hour, 70-minute, whatever speech because I didn't give a shit enough, okay? For all I know, he could have been saying that sarcastically. He could have been quoting somebody else. He could have been making a joke. There's a larger context here. And shit like that has to be taken in the larger context. This is why as this podcast has evolved, I try, and not always, because believe you me, I'm just like anybody else. You give me a good soundbite of somebody saying something stupid, and I will definitely jump right in and make fun of it. I got no problem doing that. But I make an effort to, before I do something, understand the context that it happened in. Or if I'm commenting on something and I don't know the context, hopefully I have the self-awareness to preface that or, you know, follow it by saying, hey, you know, I had these comments, but I don't know the context. So Ryan's point is to get your inaccurate information into the mainstream media, you start by taking a small chunk, feeding it to some desperate blogger who wants attention, because this blogger is not going to fact check it. They're not going to spend time, and this is where we come back to where I started on this whole context thing. Some small-time blogger who probably has a day job and is trying to pump as much crap onto the internet as possible in a desperate attempt to get noticed is not going to have time to fact check this information. It's not going to have time to fact check the person who sent the information. He's not going to have time to look for the context of the information, if the information is accurate or half accurate or partially accurate or completely not accurate, whatever. So you're getting this information into the blogosphere with absolutely no verification involved whatsoever. Now, once you've done that, once it's appeared on a blog someplace, on a low level, we're going to call a low level blog, what happens is other blogs, and one of the ones he mentions a lot, two of them actually, are Gawker, which I don't think I've ever looked at, and the other one is Huffington Post, which of course we all know is like the Fox News of the internet. The Huffington Post will publish anything, because I've actually looked at some of the shit on that website. So blogs like Gawker and Huffington Post, which are really driven by advertising, really driven by page clicks, really are there to do anything, to get more and more page clicks, to get more and more money. They, you know, scour these little blogs looking for shit like this. So some, you know, small-time blogger publishes my quote-unquote leaked information about how the Cynical Libertarian Society is going to hack into the White House website. And they see this, and they grab that, and they run. Now, they're not going to attempt to verify the information, not so much because they assume the other blogger has verified the information, but because on the internet, the way the internet has become is that you can, how do I explain this? Okay, let's do the comparison to the print media, right? If you're actually a real journalist back in the days when real journalists existed, and you were going to publish something in a newspaper, or if you're writing a book and you were going to say something, you would make attempts to verify it before you published it. And when it was published, if something was published, there was this assumption that it was verified, that this is what used to be called journalistic integrity, which doesn't exist anymore, primarily, I believe, because of the internet and the very things I'm talking about right now. So back in the day, before a journalist wrote something which was going to be published in a newspaper, they made an attempt to verify it. With the internet and with blogs, verification has become replaced by linking. So you put in a hyperlink. So the Huffington Post, because they're scumbags, and they would totally report that the Cynical Libertarian Society is getting ready to hack into the White House website. The Huffington Post sees this on this small-time blogging website, and they take that and they publish it in Huffington Post. And then in order to provide evidence that it's true, they don't go out to verify this in any way. All they do is they publish a link back to the original blogger. So now it looks real, right? Because there it is. It's in Huffington Post, and here's a link to this blogger who originally wrote about this. And that has replaced, in the minds of a lot of people, the verification process. He talks about this in the book, and I totally agree. I've seen this. If you take an article on a website and you just stick a bunch of links in there, you say, you make a statement, blah, 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 and you make it a hyperlink to something else, very, very, very few people are going to click on that hyperlink, go to this, and then read that information there to see if it actually jives with the information that was in the original blog post. People see a hyperlink and they just, in their brain, that makes them think, oh look, there's a link here. This information must be true because it's been hyperlinked. And his point is, you can fucking hyperlink your false information to virtually anything and people are going to believe it. You know, for one, you could make the statement that autoclaves, this complete turn of examples here, because I used to work in the research industry. But I could go in and make the claim that autoclaves do not have to go above 200 degrees in order to sterilize something, and put a link to the Wikipedia article on autoclaves. Now, first of all, that's completely untrue, but people would look at that and see there's a link to Wikipedia. Nobody is going to go to the Wikipedia article on autoclaving and read the whole fucking thing, and furthermore, read the references on Wikipedia to find where it says that you can sterilize something without going over 200 degrees in a conventional autoclave. Right? That's his whole point. By hyperlinking, you're not verifying stuff. What you're doing is you're just throwing more shit at people. Shit which nobody is going to read through and attempt to verify. I mean, I guarantee you, I am one of the very few people that ever does this. When I'm reading some bullshit, even on this book, I've got some stuff in here that where he's referenced some studies about, basically, the short version is how stupid people are, which I already know that. But the thing is, most people would look at this and see the reference thing and reference the study and just believe it. Unlike most people, I'm actually going to go looking for those, find out if they really exist, and if they do, I'm going to try to get them and read them. And this is what the average person doesn't do. The average person sees some shit in the Huffington Post, and they see a hyperlink, and so they say, oh, there's a hyperlink to something else. It must be true. They don't click on the hyperlink, go to this other source, read the information there, look for what are this person's sources. Can they be verified? No, they just leave it at that, because that would be too much fucking work for the goddamn medicated generation, short attention span, fucking under 30, goddamn cocksucking, worthless ass fuckers out there with ADD, which isn't even a real disease. It's just your inability to fucking focus on anything because you have no goddamn self-control and because you're a spoiled little fucking punk. And sadly, you can vote, and sadly, we live in a democracy, and sadly, your messiah, Hussein Obama, who is elected by less than 20% of the population, can murder people with flying robots because you can't stop sucking his cock. All right, now, back to the book. So that's level two. Level one, give it to some desperate blogger who will publish anything without verifying anything. Level two, from the desperate blogger, it gets picked up by Gawker and Gawker. Because there's a W in there. The W keeps fucking throwing me off. Picked up by Gawker and by Huffington Post. From this point, major news media like ABC, CBS, MSNBC, which still cracks me up that they're called MSNBC instead of just NBC, whatever, CNN, all these things, they see shit in Huffington Post, because once it gets in Huffington Post, it explodes, right? If it's remotely juicy, it's gonna go viral. Oh, we're gonna go viral. It's gonna go crazy on Huffington Post. People are gonna be reading it, they're gonna be talking about it, it's gonna be on Facebook, it's gonna be on Twitter. So once you get your lie into the blogosphere and into social media at that level, where people all over the place are talking about it, where it's on Huffington Post, and where it's on Twitter, where it's on Facebook, the media, the what used to be the real media, but wasn't even, in my opinion, isn't even good media anymore, you know, the New York Times, the Washington Post, the ABC, the CNN, they're going to see this, and they think this is news, and they pick it up. And boom, there you are. You're on CNN. He opens the book with an example. Yes, and I know I have to hurry up because we're running out of time. Gee, I wonder if this is going to be a two-part podcast, considering I barely got to what I'm supposed to talk about. All right. He opens with an example of how he got a bunch of free publicity for Tucker Max's movie, where there was a billboard for the Tucker Max movie. And so he went and graffitied it, and then he took a picture of the graffitied billboard, and he sent it off to some blogger saying, hey, look, somebody hates Tucker Max just like I do. Yeah, this guy's an asshole. And so the blogger publishes the photo and talks about how Tucker Max is an asshole. And from there, that's exactly what happened. you know, it kind of runs away, it gets picked up. Suddenly Tucker Max's book is selling shit, and Tucker Max is getting asked to be on TV shows and all this other stuff. And so it was this controversy, God, I can't fucking talk, which was totally generated. And this is not new stuff. I've talked about this before. I have, back somewhere in this podcast, I've talked about how I believe that the movie The Last Temptation of Christ, this is not the Mel Gibson thing. This was a movie before Mel Gibson did the Christ thing. But back in the day when I was young, there was a movie called The Last Temptation of Christ, and the Christians were out protesting it in front of the theaters. And years later, when I finally watched it, it was one of the most hideous, boring movies ever. It has nothing to do with your fucking religious beliefs, okay? It was a terrible fucking movie. And my opinion has always been that those protests were generated either by Christians or by the people who made the movie or by a combination of those, just to get people to go to the theater, because people are attracted by controversy, right? Right. Okay, nobody left to their own devices would have gone to see that movie. It was fucking terrible. But so by getting these people out there to protest, that gets people to want to go see it. And that's exactly the technique he used to get publicity for the Tucker Max movie. You know, and he did it with the help of this blogger and then everybody down the chain after that. So it's evil, but it's devious evil. It's actually, I don't even actually know that it's evil. I mean, it's just, it's reality. I mean, people are stupid. And people don't want to verify anything because the internet is not about, and he talks about this a lot, I completely agree with this. The internet is not about accurate information. When you see something in a book or you see something in a newspaper, there's this assumption that somebody got off their ass and attempted to make sure the information was accurate before committing it to print. On the internet, on a blog, there is no commitment. Everything is temporary. Everything is in the moment. It's like Twitter. Everything is just going by. It's like Facebook. Everything is just going by. Everything is just flooding past you. It's very, very in the moment. And so what matters on the internet is not accuracy. What matters is being first and being controversial so that you get a lot of clicks. Accuracy just doesn't factor into it. And I'll be back with more on this topic.